Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever done it? Have you ever used the phrase, "I'm asking for a friend"? Not me. I know the answer to this. I'm confident of my own place and condition. I just have a question for you because someone asked me. So I'm asking for them. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you've ever done that, but imagine today. Imagine with me that you and I are journeying with Jesus. We're walking along the path from one road, from one town or village to another. This is where we find Jesus and his disciples in Luke 13 today. He went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. His disciples, of a smaller or larger gathering, we don't know, are with him. And so imagine that you or I are there also. And you have that question. That thing that you've been wondering, maybe it's because of something Jesus said in the previous town or village. Maybe it's something he said a few weeks ago. And you just can't get it out of your brain. And you really want to ask that question, but there's something holding you back. Maybe it's because it's a question that would reveal a little bit too much about yourself. Your own heart, your own condition, your own thoughts. Maybe you're afraid to make a fool of yourself in front of the others. Never our problem, right? Maybe it's because you just don't get it. And you feel like everyone else got it, but you are still wondering and feeling like you're the only one. I'll do this. Jesus, I have a question for you, but it's not really for me, it's for a friend. I don't know for sure if that's what the someone who comes to Jesus today and asks a question is doing. If it's really a question about his or her own salvation, own condition, own place, and there's some uncertainty, some fear, some doubt, or some other emotion that he or she is dealing with. But I can't help but wonder. We don't even know if this someone is someone that's been part of Jesus' disciples and following. If it's one of the 12 or just a random stranger that happened to walk up alongside them on the road. What we do know is that this someone asks a very broad, almost abstract question. Not a bad question, a valid question, but broad and abstract. Lord, will those who are saved be few? Maybe this person is genuinely curious about a number. When the time comes, when salvation is complete, is it just going to be a handful? Is it going to be 1,000? Is it going to be 144,000? Is it going to be a lot? Or maybe this person is wondering about their own place in terms of salvation, their own condition. Are they going to be one of them? While the person asks a broad, distant, abstract question, Jesus doesn't deal with the question in broad, abstract, distant terms. Jesus, in his response, as we'll see in all of the rest of our verses today, gets very pointed. very uncomfortable. Because he takes a third-person question about some people out there and turns all of it to this someone. To you, Jesus says. But not just the individual. Luke tells us he said to them. It's a you plural in Jesus' response. If Jesus was from Texas, it would be an all y'all. Strive, he says. Struggle. A you plural directive to enter through the narrow door. And the rest of Jesus' words continue with these kinds of direct words, direct teaching to not only Jesus' disciples who happened to be with him along the path that day, but to you and me today as well. Strive, you all, to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, I do not know where you come from. And even later, when Jesus goes on, in that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out. Jesus, I just had a question about how many. And yet Jesus makes it about you and me. It's uncomfortable. It's challenging. And Jesus, not for the first time, says, there's certain things that you and I may be wondering and worrying about. But first, you and I'm there with you, need to repent and believe in Him. We need to recognize first our own place. Certainly we can rightly be concerned about the salvation of others, the hearts and minds of others, the relationship that others have or don't have with our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. But if we are overly concerned about others, if we are trying to peer into the hearts and minds of others without looking in the mirror first, the end result will likely not be good. The you that Jesus speaks of will most likely then end up being you and me, not on the inside, but on the outside. Jesus did a similar thing just a bit earlier in Luke chapter 13. Our Sunday readings, if you've been with us, skipped over this. But at the very beginning of Luke 13, just a handful of verses ago, this took place. There were some present at that very time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And he answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." He goes on about another situation, 18, who died by the tower in Siloam when it fell. "Do you think they were worse offenders? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." How easy it is for us to get caught up in the lives and activities of others and forget to consider our own sinfulness, our own need for a Savior, our own need for salvation through Jesus Christ. And this seems to be then a similar message that Jesus is giving to his disciples and to you and me today? Is struggling to enter through the narrow door a matter of work or effort? A matter of doing enough of the right things and avoiding enough of the wrong things? Is Jesus comparing sinfulness, worse sinners and, I don't know if better sinners is the opposite of that, striving and struggling is not measuring how good or bad you've been. Instead, I would argue that it's the same admonition that Jesus gave when people were wondering about this event or that event, and he said, "You repent." That's what Jesus is telling this someone. Whether he's asking for a friend or not, and regardless of where Jesus' other disciples are, and you and me, we also need to repent and believe, because this is the only way through the narrow door. The way through is not based on our effort. The way through is not based on how many of those really bad sins we can avoid. The way through is not on our own. It is only through Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. The door or the gate to the sheepfold, references to Jesus' words in John's gospel. He is the only way. And some, in fact, Jesus tells us many, it's not an exact number, but many, he says, will seek to enter and will not be able. Because there are many of us. I pray none who are gathered here today, but maybe some of us need to hear this message again. Because there will be many who hear the good news of Jesus and say, "Nah, I'm going to keep trying it my own way. I think I can make it on my own." Or one of the other thousands of ways that people propose are out there as a way to heaven. Jesus is the only way. And so the "you" language that Jesus uses today, it might feel harsh. It certainly is uncomfortable, but it's something that you and I need day in and day out. Because the call to repentance, the call to recognize that I and you are sinful people in need of a Savior to come and do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, that's the call that Jesus gives us again. But we also remember that He has provided the way. That Jesus is the one who has taken your sins, my sins, the sins of the whole world, even the sins of those who will end up not believing. He has taken them upon Himself on the cross. That is His love. That is His amazing grace. That is the work that He has done for you and me to provide this way, to make the way in. And what a beautiful place it is inside. What a joyous place. When once the master of the house has risen, maybe an allusion to Jesus' own resurrection, and shut the door, a time that has not yet come, the door has not been shut yet. There is still time for you and me and others to repent and believe in what Jesus has done. But a time is coming when the Master, the one who has risen from the dead, has ascended into heaven. There is a time coming when He will return. It's why we call it the last day. Because the door will be shut. And there will be people, I pray not you or me, gathered here, who will be left outside. Even those who thought, "Lord, You know us, we know You, we spent time together. Let us in. Open the door again to us. I do not know where you come from. Then you will begin to say, Jesus says, but we ate and drank in your presence. You taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. Oof. Can Jesus get any harsher today? But it's a reminder for you and me. It's a call for any and all to recognize that our evilness or our righteousness is not based on what we do or don't do, but it's based on a right relationship with the Father through the one and only righteous one, Jesus, through forgiveness in Him, which comes only through faith in Him. In that place, Jesus continues, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When you see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all the prophets of the kingdom gathered together, but you yourselves cast out. But notice also what Jesus adds. People will come from all over, east and west, north and south, to recline at table in the kingdom of God. If we think it's just from a certain people group, we're missing the mark. If we think it's people just from a certain bloodline, we are mistaken. But Jesus calls people from all over. The description, Revelation, people of all nations and tribes, peoples and tongues, people of all class levels, socioeconomic levels, of all conditions, of all appearances. And see, this is a word that not only Jesus' disciples then needed to hear, but something that you and I need to hear time and time again as well. Because the people that we might expect to be in, Jesus says, you're not looking with the right eyes. Oh, so-and-so is very much a spiritual and righteous person. But that person over there, well, clearly they're not getting in. But you and I don't know the hearts of people. You and I don't know the faith or lack thereof that an individual has with the Father. Certainly we pray that our lives would reflect the relationship that we have with Jesus. As D.C. Jeff was teaching the children, that when we know and recognize our sin and the love that God has for us in sending Jesus to die and rise again, that we then would respond with love to God the Father and to our neighbor. But again, that's not the way in. The way in is through Jesus. Faith in Him. And He has called and worked in, we see in His ministry, many, many unexpected. When your eyes and mine often see first and last, Jesus sees differently. And while we have a warning today, a calling from Jesus to, again, each day, regularly to repent and believe in Him, we also have a small glimpse of a beautiful picture. Reclining at table with Jesus in His kingdom for eternity. Resting in the Master's house with food and fellowship and people of all times and places who also believed in Jesus for their salvation as well. It will be a joyous feast, a wondrous feast, an eternal feast that you and I get to be a part of. And so today, as you and I heed Jesus' warning and call, take heart also. Because what He has prepared for us, for you and me and all who believe in Him, is a wondrous eternal gathering. For many who have gone before us, and many who will come after us, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.